time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, thanks for joining me today on the Vintage Truth Podcast. I'm excited to talk to you about a subject that is, it's in the news almost every day, and there's really no getting around this. I mean, the Bible does not shy away from talking about difficult things, and, you know, sometimes in our culture and in the church, we're afraid to tackle controversial topics, what some people believe are controversial topics. And the reason why is because of the volatility that comes with it and the emotional attachment that comes to certain belief systems, that type of thing. That's why we have the old saying, you know, when you get together with your relatives, you don't talk about politics or religion. And that's almost could not even be any more true than it is today, because politics are a very, very divisive thing. All you have to do is mention one word today to get an argument started. You know, today you just say something like Trump, and all of a sudden you've just divided the room, right? So yeah, sure, politics are divisive. No one doubts that. It doesn't mean that there aren't appropriate times when we should discuss them rationally and without being emotionally irrational about things. So today we're going to talk about the topic of the Christian and transgenderism, or transgenders. And this is going to be a multi-podcast here. We're not going to talk about everything in the one podcast, but let me just say this. You know, the Bible addresses everything pertaining to life and to godliness, and it tells us so much in the Word that informs us about not only what is true and real and what we should believe and to do, but also how we should treat other people. And so when it comes to things that come up that you know, your parents' generation didn't have to deal with, but now it's like it's a thing, you know? It's just like, you know, the internet is here. I mean, this generation does not know what it's like to grow up without the internet or without cell phones. I mean, that's just a thing of life, you know, that they accept. And today, more and more, society and culture and the mainstream media and even some conservative media and even some denominations are coming together to affirm this phenomenon known as transgenderism. Now, I'm going to talk about a lot of things in these next couple of podcasts here, so I want you to be patient, but I'm telling you something. This will be something that you're going to want to, as a believer, to begin to wrap your head around and to get some clarity on. And after you listen to these podcasts, I encourage you to take your Bible and to open it up and to study this for yourself in terms of the truth about it, but also in terms of your response and specifically, perhaps potentially your relationships with people that may fall in this category. And even if they don't, there is so much confusion today in the world and in the church about sexuality. And I think it's one of the blankets of delusion that Satan is laying upon this culture. The Bible calls him the God of this world. Jesus called him the ruler of this world. Paul talked about Ephesians 2, that he is the prince of the power of the air. So Satan is in charge of the narrative that's going on here. So we as Christians need to know how to respond to it. So let's just begin with some just sort of basic things here that I think will help lay the foundation for where we're going with this thing. First of all, let's just talk about the transgenderism issue. What is transgenderism? Well, if you look it up on the internet, I mean, it's not a Christian definition. If you look it up online, it just says transgenderism is the belief that a man can become a woman or a woman can transition into a man. It's the idea that one's gender is fluid, not static, and that if a person so desires, they can transition from one gender to the next, period. So that's transgenderism in a very simplistic nutshell, okay? Now, by way of introduction, let's talk about a couple of foundational principles here. And I'm going to make some statements here that you're going to go, whoa, I didn't know he would say that. But if you just follow the line of reasoning here, there's a sense in which the fog needs to be cleared on this issue among the body of Christ. We're not concerned about changing society at the moment. Let's talk about the body of Christ. So here it is. Here's the first statement. There is no such thing as a transgender. Did you get that? Whoa, whoa. Yeah, there's no such thing as a transgender. There is such a thing as someone who thinks they're another gender. But a person who is a transgender is not dealing in reality. Transgenderism simply does not exist. It just doesn't exist. It exists in people's minds. And then they translate that, to real life so that you think it's a real thing. But it's really just something. It's a video being played to the world, and the projector is the person's mind, okay? Now, it is true that a very, very, very small percentage of people in the world are born with what is called a hermaphroditic condition. In other words, they're born with two sex organs. They're born with the male and the female genitalia, but typically those people are infertile from a male point of view, and these hermaphrodites, as they're called, typically have one of the organs is typically functional, the other is not. It's just simply a physical abnormality. So they cannot really experience intercourse with both sexes, okay? But these people are still either male or female. So let me repeat, there is no such thing as a transgender. It is a fairy tale, a figment of one's imagination, a concept created by man in order to accommodate certain feelings and certain thoughts. In the same way, there are no such things as green aliens, unicorns, or the flying spaghetti monster. Now, why would I say this? Other than the fact that we all know this to be true intrinsically, because we all have brains, right? No, it's important that we establish this fundamental principle. And here it is, as it relates to transgenderism and many other things, okay? Watch this. Belief does not determine reality. Belief does not determine reality. And in this case, belief does not create reality, okay? Just because a person believes something about him or herself, or about life, or about God, heaven and hell, or any religious issue, does not make the belief valid. Unless that belief can be shown to be grounded in reasonable thought, scientific truth, or historical fact. Okay? So, if someone woke up today and said, hey, last night I time traveled back to World War II and I killed Hitler. Okay? Or if someone says, hey, I bumped my head and I went to heaven last night and I'd like you to give me a book contract. You see, when someone says something in their mind, unless they can verify it, then at least from a factual standpoint, it is not valid. So, but here's the point. The point is that just because you believe something doesn't mean that something is true. Belief does not determine reality. Belief is subjective, meaning it comes from the person, the individual. And it may or may not be true. It could be true, because some belief is based in truth. I believe that I'm here right now. I believe I'm speaking to you. That's true. But if I said, I believe that I'm broadcasting from the planet Neptune right now, you'd want some proof for that, wouldn't you? So, belief is subjective. And the reasons why there's no such thing as a transgender is because just because a person believes it doesn't mean that it's true, but it's because logic confirms this. There's a law of logic called the law of non-contradiction. And the law of non-contradiction basically says that A cannot also be non-A at the same time, because both propositions cannot be simultaneously true. An apple cannot be an orange. It's an apple. An orange is an orange, an apple is an apple. And an orange can't be an apple can't be an orange. So a person cannot be both male genetically and female at the same time. If a person is a male, and I'm going to talk about this from a male perspective, although it'll apply to females as well, but during these podcasts. If a person is a male, they're a male, and they're a male forever. Same goes for females. Therefore, I cannot be a genetic male with a female trapped inside my biologically male body. That's impossible. It flies in the face of logic. You cannot be a male and a female at the same time. Secondly, science and basic biology confirm this as well, that there is no such thing as transgenderism. All males have both an X and Y chromosome, while all females only have a pair of X chromosomes. There is a part of, this is a part of what we know as the genetic code. It's very complex, this genetic code created by God. It's the genetic code that is within humans is amazing, okay? But we don't have time to go into that right now. But here's the deal. We cannot and never will be able to change a person's genetic code. It is impossible. It's their basic hardwiring system. It's in every cell of their body. And so our chromosomal makeup, male or female, determines our sex and our gender. Now today, some are claiming that while sex may be fixed in a person genetically and biologically, that their gender can be malleable. And granted, a person may think in his or her mind that he or she is not the gender to which they were biologically assigned by their genetic code, but that does not change the scientific fact of who they are and what they actually are. So if your biological makeup determines your gender, it's who you can't just create this ethereal thing that exists in your head that goes into contradiction of your biological makeup. I can't say, even though my biological makeup tells me that I'm a human with two arms and two legs, I identify as an octopus. And people look at you, but you don't have eight arms. Yes, but I do in my head. In my head, I have eight arms. Or I am a wolf. And I identify as a wolf. Even though when you look at me, you don't see the fur. Don't worry about that. That's just genetics. That's just biology. That's just science. Don't worry about that. Worry about what I'm telling you that I am. And so they identify as this other creature or this thing, or in this case, this gender that they're not. Now, let me just say this. A man can legitimately think he is a woman. No one denies that. You can think that you're not a man if you're a man. A man can legitimately feel like he is a woman. A man can pretend to be a woman. He can act like a woman, and he can function like a woman in society. So yes, there can be thoughts and feelings and actions and, you know, ramifications and lifestyle choices and all those things. Yeah, sure, they can happen. But it does not change the truth and the reality of the situation, which is that he's still a man, but he's pretending to be a woman. Now, you may read headlines these days. In fact, I saw one the other day that said that a man gave birth to a child and a woman provided the sperm for that child. I mean, this would be something you would see like on the cover of the National Enquirer, which was a tabloid magazine filled with just fake news. I mean, things like Elvis and aliens had a baby and just, you know, stuff like that. JFK's living on an island somewhere with John Lennon and they're all in wheelchairs together, that kind of thing. I mean, it's just preposterous. But no, this is headline news. This is mainstream news today. But it's fake news of the worst kind. And here's why. When you in the media, you read that a man has given birth to a child, you automatically know that's not true. Why? Because men can't give birth to babies. They don't have within them the physical reproductive organs, the uterus. They don't have the hormones. They don't have all these things that would allow a baby to live inside them and to give birth through the vaginal canal. That's impossible for a man to do. So when you read that, what you're really saying is that there was a woman who identifies as a man and she gave birth to a child. But because she identifies as a man, we're going to call her a man and say the first man has given birth to a child. And a man pretending to be a woman has provided the sperm to impregnate that woman who thinks she's a man. Confused yet? We used to call this lying. But now we're accepting this imaginative fiction as fact. That's where we are today. Now, the reality is that a man who thinks he is a woman, no matter how far he goes in this mental, imaginative playtime scene, is still just a man. He's a man. He was born a man, he'll die a man. What he does in the in-between time is up to him, but it's either real or it's not. For example, Bruce Jenner, the great decathlete, the idol of every woman in the 70s, you know, the world's greatest athlete. He chose to have elective surgery after telling people he is identifying as a woman to remove his external sex organs. He grew his hair out, and he was injected with female hormones. And then he changed his name to Caitlyn. And the world, you know what they did? They gave him an award for being the woman of the year. That, to me, not only is one of the saddest things in the world, but also one of the most tragic things for women, especially if you're a feminist, because what a slap in the face that the woman of the year is actually a man. I mean, you know, here's women trying to have their woman thing and be all, you know, here's the woman, the greatest woman of the year, turns out is a man, pretending to be a woman. In reality, Bruce Jenner, now called Caitlyn Jenner, is really just a man dressing up like a woman with some hormones, nothing more than a common transvestite. Now, I don't say that to insult him as a human being. I say that because that is true. He's living in a delusional world out of which someone needs to wake him. And hopefully he can be saved. But he's still a man. That's because our biological makeup is an unchangeable, permanent fact of our reality. It is truth set in scientific stone, as fixed as the laws of the universe itself. So, it begs the question then, what is, or what does the world say, transgenderism really is? Well, some people refer to this as gender dysphoria, and it's defined this way, it's the distress the person feels due to a mismatch between their gender identity and their sex assigned at birth. People who experience gender dysphoria are typically, quote, transgender. The diagnostic label used to be gender identity disorder, but they changed that to gender dysphoria in 2013 because they didn't want to stigmatize this feeling that you're a woman trapped in a man's body as a disorder. So they changed it. There's also this thing called gender nonconformity that's not the same as gender dysphoria. And the American Psychiatric Association states that, quote, gender nonconformity is not in itself a mental disorder. The critical element of gender dysphoria is the presence of clinically significant distress associated with their condition. So, end quote. So gender variance or gender nonconformity is behavior or gender expression by an individual that doesn't match the gender norms of masculine or feminine roles. So in other words, a guy who's really effeminate or a girl who is really, you know, masculine or whatever, they may have gender variance or gender nonconformity, but their biology is still the same. And then there are a host of other labels and identifications used by those who add on to all these other gender dysphoria, gender variance. That's why we have the LGBTQ, and they keep adding letters to this acronym. But sure, there are people who, for whatever reasons, may be more on the soft side or effeminate side if you're a man, and more on the rough side or the masculine side if you're a woman. But you're still a woman. But you're still a man. So there are many other things that we could talk about there. So let's wrap this little session up here by saying this. In the psychological community in America and across the world, they have accommodated this transgender aberrance by giving it its own non-condemning label. And of course, the American psychiatric community has done that with many other sin-based identities and patterns of behavior as well. We know that. But I'm also sure that many psychologists and psychiatrists would agree that some of what people experience in this category is nothing more than just gender confusion, out of which, statistically, many of them just simply outgrow. You know, it's like in your early years, you're kind of like, golly, am I attracted to guys or girls? Am I a girl or a guy inside? And then they just grow up and they just, you know, do the normal thing. It's just gender confusion. And a lot of people struggle with gender confusion. I mean, even Christians, you know, and their sexuality. Because they find themselves having desires that they go, wait a minute, that's not right. But is that really me? Wait a minute, is that who I'm supposed to be? Or should I fight this, or should I just go with it? Should I call myself gay and just not be gay? Or should I just deny that and try something else? There's a lot of confusion out there. So anyway, there's a lot more we're going to say about this in the next episode of the Vintage Truth Podcast. A lot of truth coming your way about transgenderism and how we as Christians should respond to it. So I'll talk to you more about that next time. You don't want to miss this. It's what's happening. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.